Prophet Cheston came, I knew the finger of the Lord was upon his life and his wife's life. We've had the pleasure of having them in our home. But this is his biography. Cheston had his first encounter with Christ at the age of 5, and his mother is here. So please stand, Lady McCrae. We want to honor you tonight. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I feel the strength of Christ within you as you're here. Just your presence here offers strength. Amen. And at the age of 6, he was baptized in Jesus' name. And at the age of 9, God filled him with the Holy Ghost and a mighty burning fire. That following Sunday, he preached his first official sermon entitled, "It's Time for Me to Be About My Father's Business." And he hasn't stopped preaching since. I mean, follow him on Facebook. Oh, hi, Lucy. Praise the Lord. All the way from Gamble. And she really is right across from Russia. Hallelujah. Anyway, okay. Cheston is married to Lady Tricia LaBelle McCrae. God bless you. I love you. And together they both travel and assist in kingdom equipping and enhance locally and internationally the ministry of Jesus Christ. Prophet Cheston has a fervent passion for souls, prayer, and teaching the uncompromising truth of God's word. And you will know it when he starts. And I say, don't put your seat belts on. I say, take them off. He currently serves as the international chaplain for the International Youth for Christ, presently presides as chief adjacent over the ecclesiastical protocol in his local assembly, assistant director over worship and arts and the executive administration team for Praise Temple Way of the Cross Church of Christ, and is currently a student of IMI Apostolic College, pursuing and enhancing his biblical educational studies. Amen. Amen. And so with that, we honor all of you leaders, but most of all, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingship here. So just be free and let it flow. God bless you.
Amen. Let's give a Lord a praise in this house. Hallelujah. Okay, that was a weak prayer. I said give the Lord a praise. Come on. Let's give a Lord a praise in this house. Hallelujah. Can I get some more volume on this mic? Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise in this house. Let everything that have breath praise the name of the Lord. Come on, let everything that have breath praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, clap your hands. If you know that God is real, he's alive, and he's well. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Come on, 30 more seconds. Let's shabak the name of Jesus in this house. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus in this house. Hey, kikasha noboshiaya. We exalt the name of Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated real quick. Hallelujah. Sound my man. I don't know if I get more value. I'm a black preacher, so I need to hear myself. It's hard. I got to hear myself when I preach. So if you could give me some more volume, thank you. And for those of you that get offended when I call out your color, you need deliverance tonight. You're white, I'm black, you're native, you're Chinese, okay? Get over it. Let me just say this. Before we start, I rebuke the spirit of religion. I rebuke that spirit that came to judge, because some of you are not here for the word of the Lord. You're here to judge. And I know exactly who you are. So right now, I want you to lift your hands. We're going to pray against that spirit of religion. Father, I rebuke the spirit of religion right now. I rebuke it right now. The blood of Jesus come against it. Every spectator, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that demonic spirit that you have come in. You think you came in the name of the Lord. Lord, but you're under a demonic influence. And I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray tonight that the Holy Ghost will arrest you, that by the end of this night, you will see that Jesus is Lord and that every barrier is torn down in the spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a shout in this place. I said, let's give the Lord a shout in this place. Hallelujah. 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 There's another thing I want to do real quick before we start. I'm going to pray in a little bit. First of all, one thing y'all got to know about me is I'm a prayer. I love to pray. Me and my wife love to pray, and we will pray until heaven come down. But I want to do something tonight. I want you to find five people. Everybody say five. I want you to find five people that don't look like you and that you don't know. And I want you to give them big godly handshake or hug. And I want you to greet each other in this house. Hallelujah. Come on, let's mix up real quick and let's greet one another. Five people. Five people. Let's give them a godly handshake. Hallelujah. If you didn't do five, you were disobedient. If you did more than five, you was disobedient. The Lord said five. The Lord said five. You know, in this hour, we need to learn how to get more obedient to God. I know, you know, a lot of time when we do greetings like this, we like to go beyond that. But how many did God say? Five. So if you did less than five or more than five, say, Lord, forgive me. Whew. I am ready. I am ready. Please, Robert, stop me. Stop me, because when I get going, just stop me. Thank y'all so much for this gift. Last night we had a powerful time at church. I preached on the subject, holiness will keep you protected. And as I was preaching, I began to prophesy about this is the season where our cup is going to run over. And the Lord told me to tell the people, go out and buy a new cup. Don't fill it up. Don't touch it. It's symbolic of what he's going to do. And the Lord was speaking to me even this morning in prayer. He said, the reason why I don't want the people to fill up the cup, because in this season, I'm going to fill your cup up. Sometimes we try to fill up our own cup and we try to bring our own blessings and we try to be God. But the Lord said, watch what I'm about to do in this season. You're not going to take no credit for it. It's going to be the Lord's doing it. It's going to be marvelous in our eyes. And so yesterday we went, everybody who went to Walmart, when I was at Walmart, raise your hand. It was a lot of us. Okay. So it was like a big church group in Walmart getting cups. And we were trying, I was trying to figure out what type of cup I wanted. And I was trying to think, I told my wife, I said, I don't want just any cup. I want a cup that represents what the Lord is doing. And finally I got this pure gold cup. And the Lord said it represents the prosperity that's about to come, not just financially, but spiritually. I'm about to prosper you. There's going to be increase of your anointing and there's going to be wealth. And then here it is. Y'all come and give me a gold watch. Now, the funny thing about it is my wife and I sat in bed last night, and if you ever been in my house, in my office, I got all these symbolic things that have been given to me through time. And I told my wife, I said, what I'm going to start doing, babe, every last one of them represent a scripture or something the Lord has spoken. And every last one of them, I told my wife, I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a tag thing, and I'm going to just put on every last one of them that season of my life and what the Lord said. And so the cup, you know, represents the cup overflowing. And then just even this watch, you know, just what the Lord was saying and the pure gold, the pureness of time. And you know, I just honor the Lord. I honor the Lord for Apostle Robert and Prophetess Eleanor. Amen. Mama Mary, please forgive me. I didn't greet you when I came in, but God bless you. Amen. To my mother and my wife, God bless you all. And to everyone that's here today, I'm about to preach. If I don't call you two things, please know I honor you and get over it. I don't even like doing that thing. I know the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due, but I think we spend too much time giving honor to everybody than we give God second best. And so I made it my duty that when I preach, I don't give a lot of honor. If I hug you and I say God bless you in your ear, please know I honor you. Okay, because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. Okay, hallelujah. So let's get into the word of the Lord tonight. And I don't plan to teach long. I'm going to teach, and then if the Lord give me the grace, I'm going to prophesy. But we'll see what the Lord says. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51, verse first, and then we're going to go to Psalms 139, and then we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. So first we're going to go to Psalms chapter 51. We're going to start there. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. When I was growing up, I didn't know how to read well, but this was the first book I learned how to read. And the teachers couldn't believe it because I was dyslexia. And they was like, how is it that he's reading the King James Version with such accuracy, but having trouble with his school books? But it was only God. And so you can read your translation, but I'm going to read the thous and the ifs and the, you know, all that stuff. Start at verse 1 through verse 13. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before you, is ever before me, excuse me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10 is going to be our text for tonight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Psalms chapter 139. Flip there with me, please. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and verse 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the ruins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And once again, just reading our text for tonight, verse 13 from Psalms 51, verse 10, sorry. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Tonight I want to teach on the subject that's going to set the tone for tonight and what the Lord want to do. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, say it like you're in an African-American church. Say, neighbor, I have a heart problem. Now I want you to look at your other neighbor and say it like you really know it's the truth. Say, neighbor, I have a heart problem. We're going to pray. I want you to pray for real. If you want to pray in tongues. But I need everyone who know they're saved and got a relationship with God. I want you to stand to your feet and lift holy hands and let us pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you, holy God. Don't repeat after me. Pray in your own language. God, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your grace. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that your spirit will increase, that you will put your seal of approval on this word tonight, that every sinner will come to the cross tonight, that the truth of your word will be spoken tonight. I pray against the spirit of limitation and hindrance. I pray against every judging spirit right now. I pray against every witch right now in the name of Jesus that sit and judge. I pray that there will be healing and deliverance will take place tonight. And Lord, I pray, let the hearts of your people be turned back to you in truth. Let there be a strong apostolic anointing hit this place tonight. Not apostolic by denomination, but apostolic by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And I pray tonight that when we leave this place, that we will be changed, God. Let there be such a move of God in this place tonight that the people would not talk about Cheston. They would not talk about their neighbor, but they would say that that was God. That was the touch of the Lord. I pray right now today that you will answer questions tonight, that you will turn the perverted mind and make it pure. And every heart, God, that has been broken by the effect of sin, heal and restore tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Be glorified, God. Be lifted up in this place. Be exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me tonight afresh. Let every word that come out of my mouth be ordained by heaven. I pray, let the word find each and every one of us right where we are. Let it cut who it need to cut. Let it heal who it need to heal. In the mighty name of Jesus, we exalt you, Father, and we bless you. And let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, I want you to give God your best praise tonight. Come on, give God your best praise. God, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Holy God. We exalt you, mighty God. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do in this place. We thank you for the liberty that's about to happen. We thank you for every deliverance, God. We thank you for every healing, for every prophetic word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church, I need you to stir it up. There's nobody like Jesus. I'm excited for what God is getting ready to do. He's about to shift your life. He's about to change your marriage. He's about to save your sons and daughters. And this is getting ready to happen sooner than you think. There's about to be a move of God in this place. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting myself ready. I'm getting myself ready. The Lord said, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. I'm about to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, say, I'm so glad that you're sitting by me. Watch this, say, because I need a witness for what's about to happen tonight. Come on, say that again. Say, I need a witness. Say, I need an eyewitness for what's about to happen tonight. Because just in case you're so drunk in the spirit, somebody need to witness it. Somebody need a witness to healing that's about to happen. Somebody need a witness to deliverance that's about to happen. Somebody need a witness to breakthrough that's getting ready to happen. In the name of Jesus, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew in me a right spirit. As I was praying and I was fasting, I was preparing for this assignment. The Lord began to tell me, he said, it's time for my people to get serious about holiness and about their salvation. God is tired. I'm talking to the church. God is tired of the church. Keep making the same mistake over and over again. There have got to come a time in your life where you have got to move on to perfection. There have got to come a time in your life where you've got to mature in God and stop keep tripping over the same sins. And the Lord, as I was praying about this, the Lord said the problem is they have a heart problem, but they won't address it. We hide our problems behind worship. We hide our problems behind our titles. We hide our problems behind our position in the church. And while we would tell everybody else to get right, while we would tell everybody else you need to be delivered, us who so filled with the Holy Ghost behind closed doors is meddling in sin. And some of our sins, not even what we think is the big sins, homosexuality, pornography. Let me tell you, for those of you, and I know who you are, I don't want to call you out because I embarrass you. But for those of you that came in here judging tonight, that's your problem. You so busy preaching on the homosexual, but you got a judgment spirit. And you think you're the only one right. You think your denomination is the only one right. You think you're the only one that got the truth. And God said, I'm going to deal with you tonight. You came here to judge, but God's going to judge you. Tell somebody, say, you're in the right place tonight. We have a heart problem. We have a heart problem. And it's funny, you know how you can tell that people are spiritually sick? Because a lot of time they don't talk about it. We love to point out other people's sickness. But when we're sick, when we're hurting, when our heart is wrong, we hide it. But the Lord said, you've heard the prophetic words. You've heard what I'm about to do in this season. But some of you will miss it if you don't get your heart right. It's time for us to take our eyes off of people and start putting our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want you to look at verse 10 tonight. There's a few things, about five things I want to leave with you. The first thing David said, he said, create in me. That word create means to cultivate, to develop, to produce a outcome because of an action. And as I was studying this, the Lord began to deal with me. He said, Chester, sometimes the only way I can get a pure heart out of my people is I got to take them through the fire. I had to take them through the wilderness. I have to chastise them. Now, there are some of you that's in this place tonight. The reason why you've been going through what you've been going through is not that God is punishing you. It's God is trying to perfect your heart. He's trying to purify your heart. Notice in Deuteronomy, he told the children of Israel, he said, the reason why I took you through this way, the wilderness, because I had to see what was in your heart. And I'm telling you, Sister Eleanor, Prophetess Eleanor, she said it. She spoke about, I don't know if you noticed, but I've been prophesying this at our church lately, that we're in our promised season, but there's giants in the promised land. And one of the things the Lord showed me, and I told our church this, that the Lord said one of our giants in this season is facing reality about our real spiritual condition. Because a lot of time we get so used to doing church a certain way, to where when God is trying to shift the scene, when God is trying to change something, we say, no, that's not God, because we're so used to doing it a particular way. Let me just say this real quick. We have got to learn how to follow the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you, me and my wife have traveled from church to church, and I've seen people who so used to doing church a certain way that when God has shifted, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening, God saying, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not in it. I'm not in it. I've changed the scene. Oh, God, I hear you, Jesus. I'm not your friend tonight. I want to let you know that right now. I know the Bible says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. I'm not your friend tonight. I'm the servant of the Lord. David said, creating me, cultivating me, developing me. And if you know anything about creation, remember, it took the Lord 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. Sometimes we want a quick fix when it comes to God. But the Lord said, I have my people in a season, in this moment, to where I'm taking my time. See, you want to be delivered so bad, but the Lord said, I'm taking my time because I'm trying to get something out of you. And the beautiful thing about God, that when he started working you, the Bible says you got to be confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will finish that thing. And sometimes we look because we say, God, well, when is this season going to be over? God, when are you going to save my son? When are you going to save my daughter? When is my husband going to act right? When is my wife going to learn how to cook? When? And the Lord is saying, you think the problem is with them, but the problem is with you. I'm trying to teach you patience. I'm trying to teach you faith. Let me just say this. I hear the Holy Ghost to that wife that's praying for your husband. He may have a problem, but the Lord said, your problem is that you don't trust me with your husband. You don't trust me with your child. The Lord said in Philippians 1:6, if I started a good work, I'll perform it. I'll finish it. I told the church this on last night, that the Lord gave me this word for tonight. And that word perform means to complete it, to finish it. And I told the church, as I was praying, the Lord told me, he said, the scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and it shall not depart.
not they. Sometimes your child will depart, but if you put the word in them, it will not leave. And if the scripture says, watch this, and hear the prophetic word of the Lord. The scripture says in Jeremiah, the Lord said, I will hasten my word to perform it, to bring it to pass. And as I was praying about that, and I was just letting that thing rest in my spirit, the Lord said, tell the people, for every last one of you who have placed the word of God in your child, I don't care where they are right now. I don't care how deep in sin they are. God said in his word, I watch over my word to perform it. His word cannot come back to him void. To that husband that may be away, but you know your husband got the word of God in him, or that wife, the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'm watching over my word. And if I'm watching over my word and the word is in them, that means I'm watching over them. And my word cannot come back to me void. So in other words, while you're waiting on God to do what he promised you, the Lord said, just know that I'm about to hasten my word. Let me tell you what the Lord told me as I was driving here. I told my wife this. We were driving, and I said, babe, I just heard the Lord. The Lord said, tell the people, I'm about to do it quicker than they think. Some of you have been praying for a couple of years about this breakthrough, about deliverance, and the Lord said, I'm about to hasten my word. I'm about to speed up the process. Oh, you should have got excited right there. We're in a season where, because Christ is on his way, there are certain things that got to get in line. So the Lord said, you've been waiting long enough, so I'm going to move quicker than you think. Some of you are going to get back home tonight, and you're going to see that your prayer, the answer is going to be waiting right you at the door. Heavy UPS mail have dropped a package at your doorstep, and when you get home tonight, it's going to be there. The answer is going to be there. The call is going to be there. But the Lord said, while you've been waiting this whole time, I've been working on your heart. I've been trying to get you to the place where you stop worrying about everything. He said, cast your cares on who? On me. So David said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a spirit in me. So creation, it takes time. But you got to understand, the Lord started his work in you. He's going to finish it. I'm so glad that no matter what I'm going through, I can look towards heaven and say, Lord, thank you because you're working on me. Marriage ain't right, working out, you're working on me. I got haters and enemies, God, you're working on me. Could it be that the reason why some of you think you planned to be here, but before you were born, God destined for you to be here tonight because he said, I want to work on you. So David said, create in me a clean heart. You know what's so important? I'm almost done. You know what's so important about a clean heart? Why we have to have a clean heart in this season? Because the Bible says, blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. Now that's not just talking about for in eternity. Some of us are missing the move of God because our heart are not pure. Oh, let me say that again. There are some of us in this place that the reason why you're missing the move of God in this season because your heart and your motives are not pure. My wife and I was at a church not too long ago. We went, and they one of those legalism church. When we left, my wife said, I don't want to go back there no more. Because when we walked in the place, they didn't greet us. Nobody loved us. Nobody welcomed us. But yet you want to speak in tongue and jump and shout? Where is the love? Where is the love? And the Lord began to speak to me about that church. And he told me, you know what he told me about those people? He said, they done missed me so much. They don't even understand what love is. They think, the Bible says this. And correct me if I'm wrong, Apostle. The Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing it, what benefit is it to you if you love those who love you back? What benefit is it to you if you can give to those who you know can give to you back? The test is, can you love the unlovable? And we got churches that's so caught up in tradition and denomination that when God brings somebody in your midst that he wants to bless, you're so caught up in your legalism ways. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Oh, I can feel the enemy. He's mad right now. He's mad. He's mad. You're so caught up in your legalism ways, but you want to sing about the love of Jesus, but you can't express it? The Lord said, there's so many people that's missing my move because their hearts are not pure. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. See, we preach that scripture, and we just think about heaven. It's more than that. The Lord is saying, I want you to see me. What does that word see mean? It's not just visual. It's the comprehension of God. It's the comprehension, spiritual enlightenment of the move of God. And if your heart is not pure, If your heart is not right. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Could it be the reason why there has been some prayers on delay? Because your heart is bad. Tell somebody, say, I have a heart problem. Yeah, I know some of y'all ain't used to this type of preaching. You want to Joel Osteen, but I'm Chester McCray. You want Joel Osteen, turn to him tonight. Flip him on. I'm Chester McCray. Could it be that the reason why some of y'all have missed the move of God in your own personal life because you've been looking at your situation more than you was looking at God? Some of you miss God with witnessing the people because you looked at their outward appearance. Your heart was wrong. My wife the other day, we was in a service and an individual came up to us. Me and my wife had to repent. They came up to us and they asked us for something. They said, they told us something. And I said yes, but in my mind I was saying, I ain't going to choose you. Because the Lord showed me, Mama Mary, I was so used to people looking a certain way who takes that position. And when we were driving home, I was quiet in the car because I was so convicted. Thank God for conviction. If you don't get convicted when you're wrong, you need Jesus or deliverance. I thank God for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord told me, the Lord said, you looked at her outward appearance. The Lord said, my kingdom can use anybody who's willing. If I purify them and I sanctify them, they may not walk like you, they may not talk like you, but if they want to be used by me, I will use them. And so here it is. I had to put my pride aside. And I told my wife, I said, babe, I got to tell you something. I said, you remember when so-and-so came to us and said this? I said, I misjudged that lady and the Lord. My wife said, me too. I said, I had to repent. And the Lord started showing me that's what the kingdom is about. Some of y'all ain't about to like what I'm about to say. The kingdom is not all in dress code. God is trying to tell us, I want to use those who are willing. I told the church not too long ago, the Bible says in Genesis, out of the dust of the ground, I'm still on my subject, the Bible says out of the dust of the ground, God formed man out of dirt. But then Psalm said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You made him a little lower than the angels and you crowned him with glory and honor. That means with your dirty self, God put value on you. And a lot of time, we look at people like they're dirt, but God is saying, look at your 50 self. Have you got out the tub lately? You left a dirt stain around the tub. And we fail. Watch it. Look at somebody. Look at your neighbor. Y'all not going to like what I'm about to do, but look at your neighbor. Eyeball to eyeball. Eyeball to eyeball. And say, neighbor, say, you look dirty. Don't you ever think that you too saved that you're better than the next person. Your heart is wrong. Don't think that you got so much word in you that you're better than the next person. Don't think that your denomination is right, that you're better than the next church. God said, I'm looking at your heart, and if your heart is wrong, you may think you're on your way to heaven, but in hell, you will lift up your eyes. You know what the Lord told me, Mama Mary, not too long ago? He said, there's a lot of pastors in the city that's going straight to hell because they're so caught up in their denomination. And they misjudge other churches. And watch this. With you and your crazy self, how do you know what's going on in the church down the street when you don't even attend it? How do you know God ain't moving in the Baptist church? You ain't even go there. Shut up with your foolish self. I can't stand this religious spirit I hear in here today. I'm going to call you out witching a little bit. I'm going to call you out. Prayer warriors, I need you praying because I feel you in here. That's misjudging. Your heart is wrong. And while you praising God and you shouting, you're on your way to hell with a good dance. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Notice David said, you got to do it in me. David understood that change starts from the inside. David understood. See, a lot of us, we try to put works before God to make us good in his sight. But we're not saved by works. We try to clean up our dressing. Somebody came to me the other day, and they told me, They said, do y'all wear pants in y'all church? Because I want to come. I said, come on. Wear your shorts if you want to. Come on. Because what good if you put on a skirt but your heart is wrong? What good if you don't cut your hair but you still a heathen and a fornicator? Y'all not hearing me here. We put so much emphasis on this outward appearance, but our hearts are wrong. The Lord said it's man that looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. I thank God that whether I'm right or wrong, I got enough Holy Ghost in me to say, Chesson, get yourself together. Anybody thank God for the Holy Ghost? David understood this thing have to start in me. The Bible says out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, fornication, lying. I told somebody the other day I was mentoring. I said, you do what you are. You do what you are. If you a liar, you're going to lie. If you a cheater, you're going to cheat. And there's some of us that we're just this false religion person, and we put everything, and we put slap, God, that's God. As long as it's all right with me, it's God. But the Lord is saying, where are the people that don't mind getting before the Lord and say, Lord, check my heart. When the last time you went to God for a heart problem, for a heart checkup? When the last time you sat at the foot of Jesus and said, Lord, what's really wrong with my heart? Y'all, I don't never want to get to the place that I feel like I got it with, I made it with God. Don't let that be until he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because if you down here and you think God is saying, well done, you're missing it. The Bible says, he that endureth till the end shall be saved. So David said, create in me, do it in me. It got to start in me. Start with my mind. Start with my heart. Start with my motives, my emotions. God, I'm not worried about the outside right now. This inside is messed up. It's broken, busted, and disgusted. So the Lord is saying, who's willing to lay before me and say, it's me. I'm not worried about my neighbor. I'm not worried about my spouse. I'm not worried about my children. I'm the one with the problem. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. When I was looking at that word, I'm like, prophetess Eleanor, I love the look of words. That word renew means this. It means to reestablish, watch this, after there's been an interruption. Why would David say, renew in me a right spirit? Your spirit is your God conscious. It's where your morals lie. It's where conviction lies. David wrote this after he finished sinning with Bathsheba, and David realized, watch this, my spirit man was sheared with a hot iron. David, if he would have had conviction and obeyed it, he would have never sat with Bathsheba. There are some people in the church who the reason why they're sinning, because their spirit man you done sinned so long that your spirit man became insensitive to the things of God. So when God, excuse me, Mother Mary, when God is tapping you on your soul to say, don't do this, you say, uh-uh. I'm going to show you how you have an insensitive spirit. You can hurt your neighbor and don't feel guilty about it. You can see people on the streets that's poor and have no compassion. You can sit in church and judge the little black boy that's preaching. Where is our heart at, church? That's why y'all should have jumped and shouted on praise and worship. Because it's time for us to really re-examine ourselves and say, Lord, where am I at with you? Because the Bible says this, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Could it be why you think your robe is white? You have a blemish on it. Have you ever been walking around talking to everybody, hugging everybody, didn't realize you had a stain on your shirt? Let me get a little bit on church. Have you ever been talking to 100 people and ain't nobody told you had a booger in your nose? or you got pepper stuck in your teeth. Here it is. You done talked to five people. And nobody had the decency to tell you, hey, you got a pepper, you got a book, you got a stain. That's how we treat each other in the church. You see your brother and sister with a stain, with a booger, with a pepper. But you don't love them enough to say, listen, I see this wrong with you. Because our hearts are not right. Sister Portia, where you at? I'm going to call you out. Sister Portia. Sister Portia sent me a message the other day. You can sit right there. And she came to me, right, with a problem. I must be blew her mind because she said, I can't believe you're taking it like this. She was bold enough to tell me, hey, you got a stain on your shirt. Now, that's love. Do you love your neighbor enough to tell them, listen, there's a problem? Remember, we're talking about the heart tonight. If my wife is sick and I can't help her, I take her to the doctor. Some of y'all going to catch this on your way home. If my neighbor or my family is sick, I take them to the doctor. Our problem is we try to play the doctor. I'm telling y'all, y'all going to get this on your way home, some of you. And God is saying, those who are sick need a physician. If we will stop taking our neighbor to our other neighbor and gossip and take them to Jesus, maybe the church will get well. Okay, you don't believe me? What did James chapter 6 say? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God has designed the church to heal itself. But the church is one of the only armies that wounds its own soldiers. You know why confession don't happen no more in the church? Because people's hearts are wrong. So I don't trust you enough with my problems. And here it is, I'm struggling, I'm dying, I'm sick, and I'm too sick to take myself to Dr. Jesus. But I can't even tell you about my sickness because the last time I told you, you judged me. The last time I told you, you persecuted me. At least I was bold enough to come to you and say, I'm sick. Oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost. I hope y'all getting this tonight. And let me even say this as I hear God. There are some of you in here tonight that your heart problem is pride. You're putting on a show around people as if you got it together. And you know you're spiritually dying. And the Lord is saying, you're going to keep dying unless you open up your mouth and say, listen, I'm dying. I'm so busy with work, with the children, with my marriage. I haven't heard God lately. But because in the church, we've taught it as if you got to have it all together. So now nobody, God, oh God, help your people tonight. But the Lord is saying, I want to work on my people's heart tonight. I want to fix your heart. I want your heart to beat again. Some of you, your spiritual heart, it had a weak pulse. You don't love like you used to love. You don't pray like you used to pray. You don't have compassion no more. You don't even hurt for the neighbor next to you. And God said, tonight I want to restore that. I want to get you back to the place where you can take some meats and potatoes without being offended. I want to get you to the place where you look past the messenger and listen to the message. So he said, renewing me. Renewing means to reestablish something that was interrupted. God is saying, when you sin, it interrupted your connection with me. You used to have that fluent, that water just flowing. But your sin built a dam between me and you. And now the rivers can't flow no more. When the last time you sat in the presence of the Lord and you just cried because of who he was, not because of what he was doing? When the last time the name of Jesus gave you butterflies? We say Jesus now. Jesus. Jesus something about that name. We don't even get moved no more. You know how you get moved for your spouse? Man, I tell you, I'm saved, but when my wife come in the house, I'm all up on her. Come here, baby. I'm married. I can do that. And if you're not married, you're doing that, we're going to deliver you tonight. Heathen. Fornication is a sin. Because I love her. My heart turns for her. Man, I love my wife so much, man. When we pray, we have church. Oh, we be, laying hands on each other. Come on now. I prophesy to you because I love her. I want to see the best for her. God is saying, when the last time you got butterflies for me? When the last time you said, Lord, I don't want nothing. I just want you. I don't want a new car. I just want more joy, more peace, more Holy Ghost. I need another dose of the Holy Ghost. My bro, what's your name right there? My brother right there. What's your name? Walker? Wonka. Oh, like Willy Wonka. Blanca. Why y'all didn't tell me that? Blanca, lift your hands. When you lift your hands just now and I saw you, I heard the word surrender. But the Lord is saying this struggle that you've been going through, it stops now. This a spirit of paycheck to paycheck, trying to make it, it stops now. As I be a prophet of God, there shall be, I see in the spirit a river flowing to dry places. And every dry place that has been in your life, the Lord said, I'm about to do something so supernatural, I'm going to provide an oasis in the midst of the wilderness. And whenever God sends water, he sends growth. So expect increase in Jesus' name. So when are you going to get butterflies again? Some of y'all need to fall in love with Jesus all over again tonight. You remember when you was first in love with Jesus? Nobody didn't have to push you or prime you. Now we in church. Come on, church. Let's get into it. Let's come on. Come on. And after saying come on 100 times, we still like this. Because we have lost our first love. Or we only jump when our favorite preacher is preaching. But the Lord is saying, tell my people, I want them to fall in love with me all over again. I'm almost done. Two more things. Watch this. So he said, create in me. It's going to take time, but I'm doing it. I'm going to fulfill the work. It starts in me. I need the Lord to do it in me. I'm not worrying about the outside of me right now. This outward man perishing, but my inward man need to be renewed day by day. He said, renew in me. So that means what sin has interrupted, God reestablish it. Adam and Eve have fellowship with God, but when they sin, it interrupts the fellowship. When you sin, it interrupts your fellowship with God. Sister Eleanor said it tonight, and I felt that so strong in my spirit. The reason why some people couldn't get into worship, even some people on the praise team, I'm going to be honest. Because how dare you do what you want to do and then come in the house of God and think you're just going to get up and serve God and you have not prepared yourself. Your flesh is stronger than your spirit. But your spirit is supposed to be stronger than your flesh. Y'all, let me just say this. Oh, my God, and I may never get invited back no more. God is tired of us coming in his house with our flesh on 100. And then we get right up here and we try to sing, preach, and prophesy and have not consecrated ourselves. When the Bible says in Isaiah, ye who bear the vessels of the Lord, be clean. I'm sorry, I'm an apostolic preacher and holiness is still right. We live in this generation where people preach this false grace message as if because we have grace, we can keep sinning. The devil is a liar and so is your pastor. Y'all, God is serious about holiness. And the Bible says without holiness, not you, not your mama, not your church, not your daddy, not even your lover is going to see Jesus. And I'm telling you, we're living in a generation where a lot of people are going to miss heaven because we're saying, well, I'm under grace. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And holiness is not a long skirt. My wife covered her head. You can see her and my mama. Our church believe in head covering. That's not even holiness. Because you can cover your head and still be a liar. We don't practice this stuff out of legalism. It's our conviction. But at the same time, and praise people know, we teach in our church, I'm not going to force you to change your outward appearance. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost and the Word do the work. Last thing. So he said, renew a right spirit within me. I need my God conscience to be back restored. I need conviction again. I need to know, Lord, when I'm wrong, that it hurts me. I'm sorry, but if you sin or you do wrong or you talk about people and you don't feel bad about it, you're in a dangerous place with God. If you can neglect your God time and it don't hurt your heart, you're in a dangerous place with God. When you can disrespect leadership, you're in a dangerous place with God. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. How many times do we talk about our brothers and sisters and don't think twice about it? I have a heart problem. Last verse, I want to show you this, and this is where I want you to really catch something. David said in verse 13, he said, then I will teach transgressors your way. And sinners shall be converted unto you. Transgressors are those who break the law. Notice David did not go out to witness or preach or tell people about his God until he was clean first. Oh, y'all not going to like me. We live in a generation where we're sending dirty people out to the mission field. We got people leading praise and worship, preaching, and we know they're doing wrong. Notice David did not want to tell people about Jesus until he was right first. David understood. And notice what he said. He said, then sinners shall be converted unto you. That word shall mean a future happening. David knew that if you clean me up, my witnesses would be more effective. Could it be the reason why we're not drawing nobody in the church because they're seeing hypocrites? Oh, okay, all right, I'm almost done. David said, after you clean me, Lord, after you wash me up and restore me, I'm going to go out and tell people about you. Is that not what the woman at the well did? She started off as a prostitute or whatever. But after she had an encounter with Jesus, she said, come see a man. Her witness was so effective that they actually came and seen Jesus. And then they said, you don't no longer have to tell him us about him. We've heard it for ourselves. I'll give you another scripture. Remember Paul? Paul got saved, and we live in this generation of new millennials. They think because they saved, they're ready to go out in the field. You ain't ready. You need some training. Paul got saved, but he went for 3.5 years out into the desert and allowed the Lord to work on him. And then he came back and did the work of the Lord. I even show you another scripture. Jesus. Read verse 17, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, verse 17. After he fasted, after he overcame temptation, the Bible said, then he went everywhere and preached. He had to overcome the temptation first before he could speak on behalf of God. But we got this thing backwards. We want to speak on the behalf of God, but still got temptation we haven't overcame yet. When James said, blessed is the man that endure or overcome temptation. God is saying, I want clean vessels tonight. Because when you're dirty, you bring your dirty worship. You bring your dirty praise. And you're presenting something to God that is impure. I'm done. And let me say this. If we want to move of God, if we want to see the Holy Ghost, we got to get our hearts right. As I prepared for this message, I said, Lord, help me not to see nobody else but Jesus. And the Lord said, you set your face like a flint. You don't worry about the people. I'll take care of them. Because for some of you, this word, you're going to lay down tonight and it's going to hit you. You won't be able to sleep tonight. Because the Holy Ghost is going to speak to you and say, come pray to me. You have a heart problem. Father, may this word fall on good ground tonight. And may the people respond to you. We need a touch of the Holy Ghost. And God, I can spend and talk about baptism and salvation, but it can't work until we get our hearts right. I thank you for every young person or old person in this place tonight. May their hearts be turned to you. I pray that our eyes will be taken off of man tonight. And we will say, Lord, it's me. And I thank you because we can tell you about our problem, Lord. We don't have to hide it from you. Whether it's homosexuality, fornication, lying, cheating, whatever it may be, we could come to you and say, Lord, this is my problem. I'm coming to you for an answer. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If the Lord has spoken to you, I want you to give God a praise in this place.